Superhero Time.
You're listening to Superhero Time. Today is Tuesday, January 19th, 2010. With me today have the usual crew.
I'm Fort Max.
I'm Himiki.
And Paladin.
The disembodied voice in the distance.
Exactly.
So, what's been new this past week, guys?
Well, Bandai has their Mighty Morphin Power Rangers sub-site up and running. And interesting addition of figures that had previously been unannounced and hadn't shown up on co-sell are essentially Power Rangers heroes in the same vein as the Robot Heroes, Combat Heroes, and Superhero Squad lines from Hasbro. And they're pretty much what you can expect from that sort of line. There are four packs of that each have two figures in them. Red and Black Rangers, Blue Ranger and Alpha 5, Yellow and Green, and the fourth set, oddly enough, has the Pink Ranger and Lord Zedd.
And that's got terrible, scary fanfic written all over it.
It's interesting they chose Lord Zedd instead of Rita.
Yeah.
Well, they're never going to make a Rita toy.
But Lord Zedd's not even in the first season. I mean, who are they selling him to and how?
People who like bright red muscle men?
I suppose.
That should appeal to you, right?
Well, yes, but
You think they put Zedd with, paired Zedd with Red Ranger, Green Ranger.
Or even Goldar.
Goldar would have been a more logical choice than Zedd. Yeah. I mean, the only person Zedd is going to be recognized by is going to be by the fans, and Bandai has shown that they don't really care what the fans buy. They're making stuff for kids.
As they should.
Right.
Right, so why a Lord Zedd figure?
Well, this actually, it's kind of odd, because of course there are the two store-exclusive figure packs that come with a Lord Zedd figure, and also there's a roleplay set similar to the RPM sets that comes with the Red Ranger mask, tiny power sword, tiny blade blaster, and a tiny power morpher that also comes with a little small Lord Zedd cutout thing.
I love that the stock photographer they have, the kid with the roleplay set, he's just wearing like a gray polo shirt and jeans. They didn't bother to try to get anything resembling a Ranger costume.
Like, or like
a red t-shirt to wear.
Yeah.
But no, it's like coming from a school uniform or something.
I like the little power butter knife, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like the big development of the day is the Ranger Hero, or whatever they're called, figures.
They're listed as collectible figures, but they don't actually show the actual name of the things is. It's just more of a description.
Yeah.
But Bandai seems to be following the Mattel route for this type of stuff, which is do what Hasbro's doing.
Yeah, yes. And they're doing the typical Bandai pattern with it, doing it 2 years too late.
Yeah. But of course, Hasbro is the toy company that seems to have an idea of what they're doing.
Yeah, pretty much.
An inkling, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see Bandai doing this, but yeah, it's kind of oversaturated with the Robot Heroes spin-offs. But
still, they look really nice, though, I think.
Yeah.
If the actual product matches what we're seeing here, and these aren't photoshopped or painted more than we're going to get, then...
Well, so far, the stock photos for the current Mighty Morphin Power Rangers line do seem to be pretty accurate to the actual products.
Yeah, one point in the favor of these being representative of what we would actually get, notice there's no diamonds on the gloves or boots.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the biggest difference that I've noticed is that the stock photos for the Deluxe Dragon Dagger show that it has a gray mouthpiece, whereas on the actual toy it's black, like the other plastic. But
that's kind of minor, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not like how often Hasbro's stock photos are essentially hand-painted resin prototypes.
Or McFarlane's toys.
Toys?
Well, I use the term loosely.
Paladin, what's been new in TV shows this week?
Well, the subbed episodes of Shin Kendra episodes 44 and 45 have since been released, which means the whole story of that female Shinken Red we saw advertised a little while back when we started this has started to come to light. And the basic story with her is kind of unusual. Anyone here watch the Shin Kendra show at all? Do you know anything about it?
I don't watch the show, but I did watch those episodes just to see what was going on.
Pretty much the only Sentai stuff that I've downloaded are some episodes of Z-Ranger, but I haven't been that big into downloading and watching Sentai.
Yeah, I've been watching the episodes myself.
Yeah.
And really, the whole situation's turning out to be exactly what I expected it would when that magazine scan first made its rounds. But I mean, it was a pretty obvious choice to go that way anyway with it.
Now, is this the real Red Ranger's kind of a jackass and gets kicked out?
No, this is something a little different. The basic backstory behind Shin Kendra is that the roles of Rangers are all something that's passed down through a family line. Each person has inherited the role. And the female is the one who was supposed to inherit the role of Red. The previous Red for the past 40-ish episodes has just been really a stand-in for her.
Right.
Well, she grew up more, is what I understood.
Until she came of age, right.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen these, so I was wondering if this was more the resolution with the
No, it's not like Time Force.
Yeah.
It's different from that.
Well, this was more with the what happens at the end with, is it that female Shinken Red stays on or is female Shinken Red a jackass and get booted and they get the original one Red back?
So far, she doesn't really have any personality at all.
Yeah.
She seems competent, though. She seems to know what she's doing in a fight, but...
Well, you have to remember, though, for the last 16 years or however long, she's been being trained all the time.
Right.
So, I mean, she does know how to handle herself in a fight, and she understands her station. See,
the rest of the Rangers don't seem to be too happy about her being there, but...
No. See, the thing that I'm kind of disappointed about so far with how they're doing this, I wish they would have tried to write the new Shinken Red as, having some personality, being kind of likable. So that, you know, you start to like her, but you also want Takeru back.
It seems they're going for a very stuffy, noble samurai type character for her, where there's not a lot of emotion or acting going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I didn't really feel like watching Shinken in the first place, is that the samurai tropes bore me. And she's not doing a lot to turn me onto the show.
Yeah.
Shinken Gold seems pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need to watch more episodes that are focused on him.
Yeah. Genta is kind of different from all the other heroes in the series. He's not a samurai in the least.
He's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
More in the vein of Go-Onger. I know you like that.
Right.
I love me some Go-Onger.
Speaking of things you've started watching recently, you've been watching Masked Rider Double. Now.
Yes, and it is the greatest thing ever.
How far along are you into the series?
Pretty sure I just finished episode either 8 or 10. I can't remember.
Oh,
I watched them in twos.
You've been moving pretty fast through that, haven't you?
Yeah. But it's wonderful. I mean, I love detective-type stories, and it's...
Even half-boiled detectives?
Even so, yes. But, and Philip is awesome. I can't wait to find out what's going on with his character.
Well, you won't have to wait too much longer if you keep going at the rate you are.
If I keep going the rate I'm going, I'll be out of episodes before the end of the week.
Well, that'll be just in time for episode 18 to be subbed.
Good. But this is actually the first time I've ever sat down and watched a Kamen Rider show, so the whole world is new to me to absorb.
Yeah, I've only watched a little bit of Masked Riders myself.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, most of mine's limited to Starfish Hitler.
Starfish
Simply
Hitler.
Simply because it is Starfish Hitler.
Awesome name, I gotta say that.
You gotta love Japan sometimes, really. Yeah. Now, you know, I've been starting to think that I'd like to go back and start watching through, like, Decade. But the little bit I saw of that when it crossed over with Shinkanger didn't really endear me to Masked Rider any more than I had been before. The only reason I started watching Double was just because the setup for it was kind of interesting, with two dudes becoming one Masked Rider.
Yeah, someone basically ripped off the concept of Firestorm and pitched it to Japan.
Yeah.
Interesting point of view. Okay, so what?
Before we move on, what age group is Kamen Rider Double marketed to? Because it seems a little more mature than the Sentai shows I've watched in the past.
Kamen Rider is typically for an older group, made for an older group than Sentai. It's typically that, when you grow out of Sentai, you get into Kamen Rider.
Well, so in the first couple of episodes, there was male nudity.
Well, just from behind.
Still, for a television show of any time slot or any market, that's unusual. And especially for
in
one
Japan?
A kid's show. I mean, is it normal to show kids male butts? I mean,
I don't know.
I know they're a little more
progressive
in
typical
Japan.
Custom in Japan.
Well, I'm just curious, like, is that considered normal for television in Japan, or was that like a shocking moment or something? Was that pushing the envelope, or is that standard?
I really hope it's not normal, to be honest.
Well, maybe that's why Masked Rider gets better, like, action figures in Japan than Sentai does.
Because
if it's targeted at a little
audience.
Bit older group.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus sign, it doesn't exactly have the big, expensive transforming robots.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, the toy line is more narrow because there's not big combining robots in it. It's just the guy pretty much in his bike.
And a lot of the time, there's not a big group to do either. More often, you know, you get just a few forms or characters to mess with.
I'm noticing that there seems to be less of a fan base for Masked Rider as well, and that I can't find any stores that are importing stuff.
Yeah, really? this also probably has somewhat to do with the with that not as many people outside of Japan grew up with a form of Masked Rider.
I did. Saban's Masked Rider.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, I think my goal from now on is to work Saban's Masked Rider into conversation once or twice every episode. But getting back on track here, Masked Rider might not have the greatest following outside of Japan, which would be why import stores don't really carry a lot of the merchandise. Sure would like a Double Driver, though.
I just want some USB drives to shout things at me.
Yeah, maybe
one at a time, please.
Big Bad Toy Store.
I don't know if Big Bad Toy Store carries that.
They don't. I checked.
Even their powers are limited.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more discussion about Masked Rider.
Psycho Joker! From across the internet to battle the evil computer comes Brian Kilby, the ultimate podcast host. With an audio mixing board and hundreds of dollars in recording equipment for real podcasting action. And when Kilby talks,
this is Brian Kilby.
The computer will run for cover. Brian Kilby comes with RSC Throwback, weekly classic episodes of Radio Free Cybertron, tfradio.net.
Kamen Rider like Dragon Knight. Together we can fight the fights and let's ride.
This week our discussion topic is Kamen Rider Dragon Knight. What went wrong?
Incredibly poor marketing.
And no one watched it.
Well, it would seem the two are kind of related, wouldn't it?
And plus, four kids.
Yay.
What about them?
Everybody
hates them?
Pretty much.
Deadly finger pointing.
Okay, so I don't think any of us here has actually watched all the way through Kamen Rider Dragon Knight, right?
Yeah.
To date,
no. About right.
Has anyone been able to?
Well, actually,
they
no.
even show all the episodes?
I was going to say, no, technically nobody's been able to, at least on TV, because CW4 Kids did not air the final two episodes of the series. They did
put them on the website.
Right, they made them available streaming on their website, but that's the only way anybody could see those in English. Apparently the whole series did run in other countries, though. Okay, so how come none of you watched Dragon Knight?
Usually I didn't even know it was on or that it even existed sometimes until after the fact.
Well, once you knew it existed, though, what was your excuse?
I just never got around to it. I guess I never felt a strong enough pull to actually go out and watch it.
Well, now, you watched the copy of the original pilot that was floating around on the internet before the show even started airing.
Right, and it seemed decent enough, but apparently it wasn't enough to hook me on the show and make me feel like I needed to watch it. I just assumed I'll just pick it up sometime later.
And then they canceled it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I suppose if everyone thought like me, I'll figure it'll be around, I'll just catch it whenever, then that could be why no one watched it.
Well, right. What about you, Paladin?
Well, I wasn't strictly a fan of any of the originals, so I didn't feel any compelling reasons to watch an American adaptation of it.
Compelling. Yeah, I stuck with it for first 10 or maybe 13 episodes. I kind of forget where I dropped off on it. But it seemed like what my preconception was of a Masked Rider series, which was that it was just kind of long and dull and dragging along. And, I mean, that's exactly what I got out of Dragon Knight. After a while, it just didn't seem interesting enough to keep watching anymore.
Plus, Masked Rider kind of has a history of not doing well to general American audiences.
Well, see, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Is the American viewing audience just not ready for a Masked Rider series?
Now, of course, the two different Metal Heroes adaptations did excellent over here.
Which begs the question, why does Kamen Rider apparently keep failing here? What's so different about it from all the others?
I think it's partially that it doesn't have as much of the team dynamic to the point where, okay, you just have this one guy and then you have to have all these other cast members to work different stuff in.
Well, that doesn't really work with Dragon Knight, since Ryuki, which is what it's based on, had, 13 different writers?
Right, that's the whole reason they picked that one to bring over, because it had more characters than all the others.
Right. So, I mean, that can't be the entirety of why it didn't work. That might be a good reason why Saban's Masked Rider, there's another mention of it, didn't fare too well. But then it could also be how the adaptation was handled.
Right.
But oddly enough, I think just the opposite happened with Dragon Knight, which was that they tried to adapt Ryuki too much like a traditional Masked Rider series. I think they needed to play a little more fast and loose with it, like Saban did with the Metal Hero shows into VR Troopers.
Yeah.
But I mean, but that's really the point I want to bring up, though. Is Masked Rider just a bad fit for American audiences?
Well, kind of hard to tell, because if done right, it would probably work well, but that would probably involve to the right stuff being done. Because, of course, one thing that Power Rangers and VR Troopers and Beetleborgs all had in common were cutting out a lot of the longer plotting parts and just keeping the cool battles and making up the rest of the show themselves.
Right. They converted series that had overarching plot elements and turned them into episodic series.
Right. And of course, some of the overarching plot stuff was kept in. And of course, one thing is that, actually, with the Zoo Ranger, for instance, each of the about the first four episodes of Power Rangers were each taken from two episodes of Zoo Ranger. So it was just cutting out a lot of the just, okay, cut out the boring stuff, leave in the cool fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And on the later series, yeah, would adapt various stories that would work well, and with others, they would just go off on their own direction, and it worked pretty well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think for a show like Masked Rider to succeed in America, it wouldn't need to be being played as a Saturday morning type affair. It probably need to move to like a weekly, hour-long, in the evening type of show like Hercules and Xena were back in the 90s.
I don't really think that kind of show could get away with doing that here.
I think if you put on like Nickelodeon or something like that and had them market it the right way, I think it would work better. I just don't think it's going to play as well in the mornings up against the Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah. crowd.
Yeah, if it was on network, it would have to do the rare nowadays first run syndication like VR Troopers did.
Well, why do you say that?
Kamen Rider would probably fall under the same type of thing that with affiliates not wanting to carry it that much, but it would probably work best as treated something like, oh, just random stuff, all the various action TV shows of the 80s, which the bulk of those were first-run syndication, but that isn't something that's exactly done much anymore.
Right, there's no money in first-run syndication anymore.
Yeah.
Do you think, you've all seen the Dragon Knight toys, I assume.
I try not to look at them.
Yeah.
Do you think that also hurt the show, being that the toys were so poor quality looking?
Possibly, but I've seen really, really horribly made toys sell really well. So it's not an absolute. If the toys suck, the show's going to bomb. I mean, sometimes it goes the other way around.
Right, but of course, right. The show is just a vehicle to sell the toys. So if the toys don't look desirable, you're not going to get a return on the investment of the show.
So what went wrong with the Kamen Rider, or the Master Rider Dragon Knight toys? Why are they so bad?
I would assume low production values.
Yeah, that's usually the primary reason for something like that, isn't it? Not enough money put into it or interest put into it?
There seems to be no consistency among them.
Look at
the scales change. And
it's not by the same company, but look at the Terminator Salvation toys.
Oh, God.
Right.
Well, that's Playmates. Are you going to expect anything different?
Bless their hearts. They just keep trying.
Well, Playmates can't even bother to make sure they have character names spelled right.
What?
I know. Playmates can't even bother rhyming with the Terminator line. They couldn't even keep the spellings of characters' names straight.
The thing that makes me laugh about the Terminator line is the John Connor figure. They apparently weren't allowed to use Christian Bale's likeness for whatever reason.
And so right, so every John Connor toy has the face obscured one way or the other.
Yeah, he's wearing a bandana and sunglasses and a hat.
So in other words, is there a Bela Lugosi-style obscured face?
Not following you on that one.
Plan 9.
Remember.
Plan 9 from Outer Space?
Yeah, I know the movie. I just don't remember the Bela Lugosi's face being obscured in it.
Well, the not Bela Lugosi.
So that's what you said?
Yeah. Well, the guy, Ed Wood's wife's chiropractor.
What?
Filling in for Bela Lugosi's role after Bela Lugosi died and just walking around but covering the lower half of his face with a cape.
Okay, yes, it is like that, then yes.
But yeah, with those toy lines, you're only going to get back what you're willing to put into it in the first place. You know, if there was not a lot of time and direction and, of course, money given to the development of the Dragon Knight toys, you know, we're going to get back exactly what we got, which is stuff that's going to be sitting on clearance at Toys R Us 3 or 4 years from now still.
Like the Jungle Fury line.
That's kind of sad, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
It had some good stuff in it.
Yeah, but it's not going anywhere.
Of course, that means I can still go to Toys R Us right now and get us that big transforming Megazord set, which has almost all the Zords.
I got
and
that.
It's a pretty good
nice.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not
all
bad
that
for $45.
Like
okay, so basically, Dragon Knight was a failure because
no one knew about it, really.
No one watched and no one bought the toys.
Yeah.
Pretty simple combination.
Well, yeah, does anybody remember seeing commercials for the TV show or the toys?
No.
No. And that's the point. If they don't promote it at all, how are people going to know about it and pay attention to it and boost sales and ratings?
And, you know, it's not like this was something they developed overnight either.
Right. They spent a long time on this.
And it sat doing nothing for about a year before CW picked it up?
Roughly a year, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were trying to get this show produced and out for a very long time.
Which shows that this time they actually kind of cared about it.
Well, no, you can tell by watching the show that, yeah, they wanted to do a good Masked Rider series. But I think in that effort, they kind of shot themselves in the foot because they made it too much like the Japanese Masked Rider, or at least the general perception of it. Where
that it couldn't appeal to the American audience?
It's overly drawn out, kind of dull, you know.
Same problem that a lot of the year-long Japanese cartoons suffer from.
Yeah, a lot of anime has the same problem.
Hurry up and do something! Where it's just that, yeah, you'll have the same amount of plot in any anime series that's from one season to long to from 13 episodes long to maybe to one episode each weekend long, but they all have about the same amount of plot in them.
Right.
So you have just a lot of the series, you could make 1/4 of the length and you wouldn't lose anything.
There's just a gulf between what works in storytelling for American kids and Japanese kids.
Well, not even just kids, but for adults as well. Japanese adult cinema, it reads very differently than American cinema. It's a lot slower paced.
Right. It's a cultural thing.
It is. It's so, not better or worse. It's
and Japanese shows seem to be more paced like Lost at times. So
there's usually a stiffness to the dialogue, too, where things don't feel as fast and natural as they do in American cinema. They seem very structured.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of that's probably due to how the language itself works.
Probably. I think it's also a cultural difference of how they like their dialogue to sound.
Right. It's a societal thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a big difference in what works as far as storytelling goes, and trying to do Dragon Knight as faithfully as this was done, it's just not going to work too well here. But, of course, my preference is always going to be for, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, where you're just chopping bits and pieces out of several episodes to make a completely different story.
Or even making this basically the same story, but cutting all the boring stuff out.
Well, that would help a lot, too. So, yeah, Masked Rider, to have any chance of working for an American audience, probably needs to be done more like VR Troopers, where it's just random cuts and pieces from all over the place to make something that fits American storytelling styles a little better. let's go ahead and go to our last topic. Our toy discussion for this week is the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 2010 basic figures. Who's bought some of these?
I had the whole set.
Oh, do you? Like even the Putty Patroller?
Yes.
Nice. See, I've been, eyeing them when I go to the store, but they're kind of on the small side, and they're a little bit expensive, and the weapons are all solid black. I don't really care for the solid black weapons.
Well, the old Automorphers, this individual power weapons, were all solid gray.
I know, that was fine. It's just the black I don't like.
Okay. I have to admit, the size is what's putting me off of the new ones right now.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't bought any of the new figures?
No, I usually don't go for figures. I just like giant robots. But it's very obvious how these have been shrunken compared to previous figure releases.
Well,
just looks so out of scale now.
Yeah, the only series where I bought any quantity of the figures was back with Jungle Fury. And that was really only because they completely changed the body style to be less, steroid-induced.
Yeah.
I make one exception for collecting figures, and that was for the Super Legend subline that they did.
I haven't bought any of the new figures, and it's not because I'm unhappy with the size, which, I'm fine with them being smaller because it puts them on the scale of Star Wars and the new Marvel figures and all that stuff, so they interact nicely. The problem I have
your Power Rangers hanging out with Deadpool.
Exactly. They should be able to pick up lightsabers if they want to. But I just don't think they look like they're sculpted that well. The hands, the gloves are way too large. The heads are way too small. And where the waist meets the belt, there's this weird gap of plastic there where also the belt is about 3 or 4 inches thick.
Yeah.
And when you put it all together like that, it just doesn't look very
good. Yeah, and the male Rangers are kind of roided.
And the females aren't?
They
Tread
aren't.
Tread carefully here, Fort Max.
There's proportion problems with the figures that really, no matter what kind of budget cost they have, that shouldn't be an issue in this day and age. People should know how to sculpt things in proportion.
Well, what you got to expect in this case is that they're going for a certain style. And basically some of this stuff is on purpose, like the enlarged hands.
What style would that be?
Deformed, apparently.
But just slightly deformed. I mean, if it was an over-the-top super deformed, like the Ranger Heroes figures, mm-hmm. it would look fine. But it looks like they tried to go for normal human proportions, but they just missed.
Yeah.
I really maybe don't they're think trying to make them look kind of comic bookish.
Yeah.
The female Rangers look better than the male Rangers, proportion-wise. Well, their heads seem to be larger in scale to their bodies.
Well, the heads are... Oh, no, actually, all of them are all about the same size.
Yeah,
but
just that
they look smaller on the male figures, and that should have been compensated for to make them look right, even if they're the same scale
with
each other.
The females really needed some thicker arms. I mean, their upper arms are tiny, tiny, tiny.
Well, it's like I say, it's going for a comic book look.
Yeah.
I can kind of see that, I guess.
Yeah.
And really, it's what the Power Ranger figures were doing prior to Jungle Fury anyway.
Yeah.
It's just that the figures were overall larger and, the proportions were a little bit more evened out. The hands weren't grotesquely large, for instance.
Yeah. Now, of course, the paint detail on all of these is pretty good.
Yeah, I'll remember that. Are they painted? The paint detail is pretty good.
Are they painted front and back, or just the front half like they like
front
to do?
Front and back.
See, now that's a pretty good step up for Bandai.
Yeah, pretty
much. Because for years and years, the backside was always ignored. Always in bare plastic colors.
Yeah,
you should never ignore the backside.
Yeah, there is some... Yeah. Now,
don't let that one go.
Yeah, pretty much the one piece of detail that is missing on all of the figures is the buckle. Well, it's a belt buckle on their back, but there is molded detail. It's can't see it very well under the paint, but there is molded detail. And the Green Ranger figure is missing a few paint details. Specifically, there under his arms, there are molded lines for where the diamond pattern would be. That isn't painted, and he doesn't have the red paint applications on the Morpher, but that can be explained simply because of all the because those would have gotten eaten up by the additional paint applications he
right,
does
Green
have.
Ranger has right. more surfaces to detail than the other Ranger
I'm,
figures
same
do.
Thing, yeah, because he has more – he would just have the same detail that the others do in addition to all the additional stuff he has. That would probably
There's
put
another
him over
thing
the paint
to
budget.
Consider, too, with Green Ranger versus the other ones, which is that he has more unique parts. You know, the three male Rangers at least share the same main body type, so the overall cost is lower.
Right, but that wouldn't have anything to do with the paint budget.
Well, budget is budget, though.
Yeah. But still, on yeah, it's mostly... Yeah, his lack of paint detail compared to the others in some places is due to all the additional gold paint details that he has to have.
But I mean, at least painted in the gold straps for the shield.
Yeah, and they have those molded in as well.
Right, would you rather have the diamonds painted in or the straps?
Right, I'm just saying that there's a reason why those are missing. And yeah. They even have the black diamond in the center of the shield painted. But yeah, now the weapons themselves are okay. We still don't have action figures with the blade blasters that can change modes.
Well, yeah, the best chance for that would have been back with the old 8-inch figures, because anything after that, the scale would have been too small to have all those moving parts.
Right.
It would have been nice to have an RPM-style solution where they have two separate one sword, one gun.
But they
that would have been a good idea.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, the Green Ranger, the Dragon Dagger, can't peg to the... can't peg to his waist like the Blade Blasters can on the others.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
You know what I really would like to have just once? A Green Ranger that has the jointing in the arms to be able to hold the flute up to its mouth.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't the Extreme Legends figure do that?
No.
I thought it could.
It showed on the packaging, I thought.
The figure itself could hold it in a... could hold it in kind of sort of a playing position, just not anywhere near the mouth.
Right.
So it might have been an angle trickery then on the photo I saw.
Could be.
That figure is still probably closer than any of the others come, though.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, though, at least once with all of this stuff, I would like to have that. It doesn't seem like it's so much to ask for, either.
Yeah.
You think so.
Now, of course, the putty figure is actually, I think, the best of the bunch.
The putty does look really good.
Yeah, and it's proportioned. It even looks like a guy in a spandex suit.
Always a plus.
Yeah,
and
it even has
the large hands work for the putty, I think.
Yeah, and actually, the large hands, it's actually close.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, because this is essentially a super putty.
Right, a lot of the putty variations had the thick gloves.
Yeah, well, those were the super putties.
And some even had the wrecking balls.
Yeah. I think we didn't... The only Sentai footage putties that had both hands were the super putties.
No, I think just in general they had both hands, but sometimes they would have a sword or a hammered thing on one.
Well, usually those were the ones that were usually in the Sentai footage, whereas, the U.S. footage had two hands and the gloves were a lot smaller proportionally on those suits. Yeah, and of course the putty figure comes with the fully formed power blaster.
And it also comes with...
And it also comes with the blade blaster combined with a special weapon.
A thunder slinger. I know they never called it that in the... I never know they ever called it that in the Power Rangers, but it's better than calling it the special weapon all the time.
Right.
After a while, saying special weapon just starts to sound dirty. Okay, so the regular putty comes with the power blaster and the blade blaster with the thunder slinger attached to it.
Yes.
Because it has a lack of pretty much anything else.
Right. And plus, it's based on the super putty design, so that fits perfectly.
Except for the power blaster part.
Right. Now, of course, it is kind of a plus that the individual weapons don't combine into that, because it was kind of nice that the Automorph figures weapons could do that, but they also tended to get broken pegs.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Now, of course, also, there are a few minor quibbles that I have, of course, that the Blue Ranger's Power Lance doesn't split apart. Now, the Power Lance that comes with the two exclusive packs of
the multi-packs that come with Lord Zedd.
Yeah, the one that comes with Lord Zedd. Now, the Power Lance that comes with those sets, there are two different ones that the only difference is paint applications. Mm-hmm. But those Power Lances come apart.
Yeah, that seems kind of weird, too.
And the weapons that are in those are, in general, actually a bit higher quality, more detail, and actually also slightly larger than the ones that come with the individual figures.
Well, that's Bandai for you. But yeah, there's one figure that you haven't talked about yet.
Well, two others, of course. Well, there's Alpha 5 and Zordon.
I forgot about Alpha 2, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have as much articulation. Doesn't bend at the elbows or at the knees, which actually is pretty much so accurate.
Yeah.
He can, of course, form the, essentially, the classic Alpha pose with the hands on his head in panic. And comes with... The bonus Patrick Stewart's head in a jar.
That's your Futurama accessory.
Yes. This is awesome because it is a head in a jar toy. Of course, you can even, the outer part of the tube comes off and there's even a rubber seal so you can fill it up with water.
Have you tried that?
No, I haven't. I haven't bothered.
But,
it has a rubber seal, and the instructions remind you to change the water out every 2 days.
Just like a goldfish.
Then, of course, also there's Goldar.
Yeah, let's talk about Goldar.
He doesn't do much else.
Well, I don't think Goldar even looks that good.
The yellow they chose for him could have been...
Golder?
Better, yeah. It doesn't have to be painted, but it should have been like a darker shade of yellow, because he looks kind of candy-like.
Well, of course, I think one thing they probably wanted to make sure they avoided was a form of gold plastic syndrome.
I don't think Bandai really cares about GPS.
No.
Yeah, but still...
I don't think Bandai really cares about anything.
But yeah, the wings do come off, which actually is pretty nice considering that, he retracted his wings all the time, and the U.S. costume used in throughout season one didn't have wings.
They were taken away.
Yeah, except when they weren't.
Yeah, right, well, that exactly. Basically just in the first episode.
But still, it does have the wings. They are removable. It does have his sword, but he cannot move much.
Which is really disappointing.
Yeah, his head has articulation, but he has the little fur, black fur things in the way. His arms can move have the same shoulder articulation that the Rangers have, except he has the shoulder pads in the way. He has the same hip articulation as all the other figures, except he has the Gundam skirt in the way.
So his costume gets in the way of him moving the way he should be able to.
Yeah.
Very true to life.
The only articulation he has that isn't blocked by anything is his feet rotate.
Well, that's useful.
he can't even rotate his wrists like the Rangers and even Alpha can. So he has a sword that he can't really do much with.
Can he actually hold the sword at least?
Yeah.
So if there's a real dud of the line, it's Goldar.
Yes.
Which is kind of a shame.
Yeah, I would have loved to see like a super legend sized Goldar to match the Lord Zedd they did.
That would be nice.
Well, and Goldar has never really had a very nice figure.
In fact, probably the toy from the original line probably is better.
The five inch scale one wasn't bad. That's the best one we've had, and that wasn't that great.
By today's standards, but it's pretty decent.
And it can actually move.
Its wings flapped.
But they weren't removable.
Sure they were. They just couldn't put them back on after you took them off, though.
Yeah.
The real tragedy of the new line is that we still do not have a Rita Repulsa figure.
And I don't think we're ever going to.
And that's a tragedy. Even if it doesn't sell, I want one. Everyone wants one.
the multi-pack thing comes with Lord Zedd.
With a toothpick staff, essentially.
The Ranger Heroes, or whatever they're going to be called, there's a Lord Zedd in that. You know,
that comes with the Pink Ranger for whatever reason. So.
Scary fanfic purposes. Yeah, I mean, they're just kind of glossing over Rita's existence for purposes of the toy line.
Which, didn't Rita win some kind of poll a few years back of being the best Power Rangers villain?
I have no idea.
It was on ABC Family or something, I believe, that she was voted number one.
Of course, usually those polls are going to be done by the the older fandom.
Yeah, so no unbiased opinion there at all.
Yeah. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm also disappointed we didn't get a Bulk and Skull figure. Just because I want them. I mean, not that they'd sell or that we should have them, just they should exist.
You know, back in 93, they made little PVC figurines of Rangers and monsters and stuff. And in one of the assortments, there was Bulk and Skull.
Really? Yeah, and also had unmorphed Rangers. I did not know that.
Yeah, unmorphed Rangers, too.
I'm going to have to hunt those down, then.
Yeah, I don't think they're that hard to find. Those were from the Season 2 assortment, which I don't think moved very well.
Of course, I also will maintain that perhaps the best thing in all of Power Rangers is the Bulk and Skull's theme music.
Yes.
It fits them perfectly.
I still love that little musical sting.
Yeah, plus on the tuba and the saxophone fits perfectly for them.
Yeah,
Not only does it kind of match their size, it also matches their personalities. With Skull essentially being a yes man.
So in all of this, you didn't really talk much about the wing backpack that the Ranger figures come with.
Yeah, it's just kind of like they're there because for no other purpose than to be there. There are two different formations where the Rangers the claw parts can be mounted on their feet, which actually is kind of useful on the yellow and pink figures because it helps them actually stay standing up.
Nice.
These are small, and yeah, they do kind of fall over easily. And also, they can be held in their hands, and also they can, the wing can be mounted as a backpack, and can also, stand on them using the same pegs. The only difference between the ones that come with the different Rangers is the color of paint they have on them.
Ah. That sounds thrilling.
Yeah, and the, claw parts are identical.
So, do you have any of the other kinds of figures besides just the basics?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't have any of the cycles or the Battleizer figures or the transforming figures.
Are any of us interested in acquiring those?
Not really.
Didn't think so.
I don't think we're the target market for those.
No, probably not. Okay, so do we have anything else?
Nothing coming to mind, I think.
Nope,
not for me.
Well, then that's probably a good place to end the show. Thanks for listening, and catch us again next week. You've been listening to Superhero Time. Visit us online at tfradio.net for show notes, and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production, copyright 2010.